and welcome to the Mean Time to Insight podcast, brought to you by Enterprise Management Associates and presented by EMA Vice President of Research, Seamus McGillicuddy. The EMA Mean Time to Insight podcast explores emerging trends and technologies in the world of network infrastructure and operations.
Hey everyone, this is Seamus McGillicuddy, Vice President of Research at EMA, here to talk to you about all things networking infrastructure and operations in the enterprise world. Today I want to talk about some news that came out last week. You may have seen, chances are like some kind of service that you consume on the internet was not working properly one day last week because DNS, the domain name system, recently brought down a huge chunk of the internet due to a software bug inside Amazon Web Services' internal network. Amazon Web Services is, of course, the world's biggest cloud services provider, providing public cloud services of varying types that companies of all sizes and shapes use as a substitute for traditional infrastructure services that they may have once operated in-house, and in most cases still do. But the truth is that there's just a lot of digital services across the world that are running in public cloud environments, and Amazon dominates that world. And when Amazon has infrastructure problems, an outage of some kind, it can really impact a lot of different customers. So for one day last week, for more than half a day, beginning kind of late, it was just before midnight Pacific Coast time, and lasted for more than half a day, an outage within AWS started having global impacts. Users of Snapchat, Signal, Slack, various communications platforms struggled to chat and message each other. Gamers found that games like Fortnite and Roblox became unplayable. Robinhood and Venmo and services like that couldn't complete financial transactions well. Bloggers couldn't post to Substack. And in England, the computer system that automates offsides calls during Premier League football matches, it started failing during a match between West Ham and Brentford, which caused a delay in the game because on-field officials had to revert to using manual calls of offsides since the system was glitching out due to Amazon's failure. This led to a controversial reversal of a goal, which may have impacted the results of the game. The team that had the goal disallowed and ultimately lost, it's debatable whether, you know, they would have won if they had kept that goal. You never know how a game will unfold, but it had impacts on a live sporting event with thousands of people in the audience. So what happened? Why did one tiny little glitch bring down so many systems? And what lessons can we learn from it? So on the night of October 19th, Amazon's US East 1 region, which is one of its oldest regions of its global network of cloud data centers, located in Northern Virginia, it started experiencing a high rate of errors with DynamoDB, which is a managed NoSQL database service that it offers globally. But the service instance that was located in that US East 1 region started having errors. This led to health check failures for Amazon's network load balancing service, which then led to connection errors. And then later customers found that launches of new EC2 instances started to fail or slow down. And from there, more and more services within US East 1 region started failing. All of this was traceable to one glitch, a glitch in how DynamoDB, the NoSQL database service, managed DNS records. So AWS has been pretty transparent about what happened. Like, they issued a report recently, just sort of post-mortem on everything that happened. They described the issue as a, quote, latent defect, unquote, within DynamoDB's automated DNS management system. DynamoDB, like many of AWS's services, maintains hundreds of thousands of DNS records to resolve internal communications, internal connections, translating host names into internal IP addresses. So, you know, people often describe DNS, which stands for, as I mentioned earlier, domain names system, as like the phone book of the internet. On the public internet and external networks, DNS servers maintain records of all like publicly addressable IP addresses and the domain names associated with them. In other words, the URLs, human readable addresses that, and the IP addresses that correspond to them. You select newyorktimes.com and your browser or your client device will go to the nearest DNS resolver out on the internet, and it'll translate nytimes.com to an IP address, and that you know, that gets you where you want to go. If that domain name server goes down for whatever reason, or like has improper information in it, then your browser won't be able to find New York Times website. Companies also use this same system internally for just translating host names like on their servers and their virtual machines into IP addresses, so that clients can find servers and network devices can find network devices. It facilitates internal communications at scale, especially if it's automated properly. So AWS has automated the creation and management of such internal DNS records to scale out its massive global network. Part of that automation allows for DynamoDB to create multiple processes to update DNS. So like if one process to update DNS and help it keep track of where to find things and how to communicate with things fails, it starts a new one quickly. And in this case, one of those DNS management processes in DynamoDB started experiencing delays in updating its DNS records. DynamoDB saw this delay and spun up a new DNS management process to take over. But the original process that was delayed kept trying. And this is the bug. This is where the bug happened, because now two competing DNS management processes within this DynamoDB service were trying to update the same DNS record at the same time. This is called a, quote, race condition, unquote. And in this case, two competing processes are overwriting each other. And this led to the DNS record for DynamoDB's regional endpoint in US East 1 in Northern Virginia to be erased or left blank. AWS's overall automation was unable to detect this error and repair it. When this happened, all systems that tried to connect to DynamoDB in Northern Virginia, both internal AWS services that AWS is managing, like network load balancers and like their security services and stuff, could not connect. And also, customers' services couldn't connect. They're all getting DNS failures. It only took AWS's engineering team about an hour to identify the source of the problem and another 2.5 hours to implement a permanent fix. However, by then, the DNS issue had caused cascading failures in other DNS services. I won't go into detail, but basically customers couldn't spin up new EC2 instances because of all the services that were backed up, all the processes that were backed up, or the spin up of those instances were severely delayed. And this in turn started to glitch out AWS's load balancing service. And from there, other services started failing too. AWS spent the next 12.5 hours cleaning up the mess of that DNS error that even after they had fixed the DNS problem. The regional outage had a global impact too because of how customers use AWS's US East region. That region is one of the most popular regions, and it's a global network. And Ookla, O-O-K-L-A, a network analytics company that owns Speedtest, if speedtest.com, you ever notice that your Wi-Fi is slow, I'll go to speedtest.com and see how fast my Wi-Fi is going. That's Ookla. They pointed out that many customers route connectivity through that region. It's essentially a global hub for customers and the apps that they have in AWS. For instance, they might have like a globally deployed application throughout AWS and maybe other cloud providers too, but that region has such like such gravity in terms of like, hey, this is the place we first deployed. It's kind of like the core of our network. This is the first place we deployed at AWS. It was US East Region 1. So they often like will host a critical service there just out of practice. You know, like oh, that's where identity and access management for our application is handled. So when it went down, it basically brought down a lot of customer applications because there was like a core service of a global application living in that region, which is why you saw things like that football match in England being disrupted, even though it was like across the ocean from Virginia. So there are two lessons here that I want listeners to take away from this whole catastrophe. One, AWS has a highly resilient architecture. Each service, each data center, each region, hell, even down to each rack and each device, is built out to be highly automated and redundant. AWS had a terrible outage on October 19th. But the truth is, like, it's usually just up and running all the time. Like, I think that like 37% of the internet was affected by this outage. or maybe it's like 37% of the internet is running on AWS. That's, I think, what is the accurate way to characterize it. Given that fact that you don't have more outages like this is amazing when so much of the digital world is like concentrated in one cloud provider's environment. So yeah, AWS is highly resilient, has a ton of automation and redundancy, but that automation and redundancy in this case worked against AWS. The DNS management race condition glitch created a single point of failure that crashed one of its most heavily used cloud regions. That failure condition trickled from service to service, creating a whack-a-mole situation that left customers reeling. Amazon has since removed this DNS management process from DynamoDB so that they can resolve the software bug that led to this. It should show you how, like, making everything highly automated has some danger to it. Like, all these services are ultimately, like, interconnected, and one failure condition led to a cascading disaster that brought multiple services down for multiple customers, countless customers. So, like, I think Amazon is going to have to look at how they do like automation and resilience so that these services are more independently resilient from each other so that a cascade of failures doesn't happen again. Like, DynamoDB shouldn't be taking down everything. The second lesson from this is for AWS customers. Like, AWS needs to advise customers to rethink how they architect their public cloud environments. Customers shouldn't anchor core services in a single region. Moreover, customers should consider a resilient architecture that spans multiple cloud providers. They shouldn't rely so heavily on AWS. The evidence shows that they aren't anymore. My research research has shown increased multi-cloud activity in the enterprise world. However, that multi-cloud activity is actually pretty siloed. Like quite often, it's not like a true multi-cloud architecture where they're setting up a resilient application environment across like Google, AWS, Azure, whatever. What they're doing is they're deploying like, this group of applications lives in this cloud provider and this group of applications lives in that cloud provider because they're better at it, at that type of application. And, and we also have a DR environment. If AWS goes down, we fail over to Google. But that, that failover isn't always elegant. Like, I think it's better if you are going to start using a second cloud provider, you should think about how you can deploy your services globally across them, not just having silos. I think this should teach everyone a lesson that, like, if Amazon has a mess like this that brings down a core region of their network, you should be prepared to withstand that by having your services stretched across like multiple other cloud providers as well. Cloud teams should consider distributing resilient architecture across multi-cloud, better insulate themselves from this type of thing from happening in the future. So everyone was smugly posting on social media last week, it's always DNS. DNS causes lots of problems because DNS is complex and not well managed universally across the networking world. But in this case, like, Amazon had a very sophisticated approach to automating and orchestrating DNS. It was not a manual process. It wasn't like some human like accidentally erased a DNS record. This was highly sophisticated automation and resilience architecture that was buggy and it went down. And I think it was kind of a failure of imagination rather than DNS that brought things down. Like, it seems to me that any kind of software bug could have done this to some extent and led to a cascading failure. And they can't eradicate all of them. So what they really need to do is reduce the amount of vulnerability individual services to failures in other services as much as possible. And that's not really about DNS. That's about strategy. That's like higher order thinking. So that's my take on this. Maybe disagree. If you do, give me a shout. You can email me at Seamus@emausa.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Seamus McGillicuddy on LinkedIn. I'd be happy to hear from you. And if you want to appear on the next episode of this podcast, let me know. Happy to have someone to chat with. That's it for me for this week. For Meantime to Insight. See you next month.
Thanks, Seamus, for all your great insights on today's topic, and thank you to everyone who listened. Learn more about Enterprise Management Associates, research and consulting services by visiting enterprisemanagement.com.